Hello and welcome to the Ripe Bananas podcast, and I'm your host Ethan Howard, and on my left is my co-host Kirsten.
Hey guys.
And across from me I have Mary.
What's good?
And today we're going to be talking about Beetlejuice, the movie. So to start it off, we should kind of go over what the five things are that we'll be talking about as far as like the overview of the movie. And those five things are, it would be the inciting incident, which is kind of a catalyst, break into two, which is like the entering a new world, and the midpoint, which is the first false victory or defeat. Yeah, we're just kind of like bouncing back and forth to try and get through this. And then break into three, that would be the hero makes a plan, and then we have the climax of the movie. Do either of you guys want to kind of take on what the 5-point breakdown would be for this, for the movie?
Well, the movie opens up with introducing the two main characters, who are Barbara and Adam Maitland. They go out on their soon-to-be honeymoon, and sadly they are killed in a car accident, in which they find themselves re-entering their home, only to find out that they've been dead for 3 months.
That's really unfortunate. Then we have the break into two, where the new world is when the Dietzes and the teen daughter Lydia buy the home after the couple's death, and the Maitlands attempt to scare them away, and they have no success. And then we have the midpoint, which...
Yeah, I'll go ahead and jump in there. That's when they make a meeting with Juno, their death social worker, to help get the family out, but Juno warns against calling Beetlejuice because he is an evil spirit. But they were going to, then they didn't, and they decided to possess the family and expect to scare them, but it only excites them into the unknown of the supernatural. And that leads us into breaking into three.
Out of desperation of being... not scaring the family away from the possession, Barbara makes the mistake of to call Beetlejuice. They end up meeting with Juno again, in which they confirm that they've messed up. Otho, who is the family's interior designer, ends up with the handbook for the recently deceased and summons a seance to try to rid the ghosts, since they've ultimately turned their back to entertaining the guests in the home. The seance almost kills Barbara and Adam to get them out of the house, which leads to the ultimate showdown, or the climax of the movie.
And in the climax, Lydia agrees to marry Beetlejuice if he will help save them. And Beetlejuice is then freed to wreak havoc in the house, and the Maitlands must defeat him and save Lydia. So that's kind of the overview of the movie. And so now we have to talk about kind of inferior and superior positions that the audience is put in throughout the movie, and so I think Kirsten's going to explain that.
Okay, so basically the inferior and superior positions of the audience is, inferior is when we don't know something but the directors of the movie do, and superior is the opposite, of which the audience knows something that the characters in the film do not. Ultimately, throughout the film, that the audience is placed in more of a superior position, just because we kind of know more about Beetlejuice's character from the preface of the movie, as opposed to the people in the film don't really know that he's a villain, but rather the Maitlands expect him to kind of like help get the Dietz out of their house. Us as an audience are put in a superior position because we see Beetlejuice and Lydia marry, but the Maitlands don't know, which is another example of how Beetlejuice was a negative character to the audience, but not to the Maitlands in the film. The next thing we're going to be talking about within the film is going to be the use of sound versus silence.
Well, sound in a movie can have a lot of properties just because it makes the reader feel a certain way. So, in the beginning of the film, Adam and Barbara, which are the two main people, attempt to scare the Dietz away, which is the family that moves into their house. The movie incorporates loud sound effects like screams and suspenseful music to increase dramatic effect of each scene. For example, when the Dietz open the closet to Barbara's corpse hanging by a noose, they are unfazed. And really that just goes into like what scenes really stood out to us.
So I'll go ahead and start out with what scene stood out to me most, and I think that was kind of at the beginning of the movie when the Maitlands are trying to avoid hitting the dog on the bridge, which kind of is the almost a catalyst of the movie. Is they try to avoid the dog on the bridge and they swerve off and crash, which is what caused their death and what leads them back to the house afterwards. So that scene kind of jump starts the whole movie and shows what the rest of the movie is going to be about after their death. So that scene stood out to me most. And then, Kirsten, what do you think stood out to you?
By far, since I've seen this movie so much, my favorite scene from the film would probably be the possession in the dining room where they perform the song. And as opposed to like scaring the family out, it kind of draws them more into the house. That scene's always just really stuck out to me because when I think of Beetlejuice, I think of that scene and that song. It's always just been my favorite part of the movie. It just makes me happy whenever I watch it. So, I guess, Mary, what scene stands out to you?
That one's actually my favorite scene as well. I feel like it's a very iconic scene of the whole movie. But my second favorite would have to be the wedding scene, because it's going into, like, almost a normal wedding, but then Beetlejuice has to start with his shenanigans to get everyone to like agree to it, and he ends up trapping people, which is kind of marriage anyway if we're being honest. But it just really shows that like even in like a calm moment he always has to be chaotic, and I think it shows about his character.
So next we have to go through the cinematic shots that stood out in the movie, and for those shots I would say that obviously the shot of them driving off the bridge is a big shot in the movie. Just seeing where they drove and, you know, hit off the bridge. And then after they enter the house again, they try to leave to go somewhere. And Adam steps out onto this kind of desert, I don't want to call it oasis because it's kind of like a sandworm habitat. Yeah, and he sees the giant worm and eventually gets pulled back into the house, and they realize that they can't leave. And then one other cool shot that I saw was kind of the low angle shots in the miniature town that Adam had created. They took low angle shots to make it seem like the buildings in that town were a lot bigger than they actually were. And so after that, I think we have to talk about, I mean, what statement does this movie make, you know?
Well, I've thought about that a lot, and I feel as though even if it's just like a funny / scary movie, every movie has a statement of its own that's a very deep in itself. And I feel as though the statement is putting your trust in the wrong people will ultimately end up badly, no matter how you try to go around it or cut corners. It's always going to come back to you. The people that you hang around with are going to affect how you act. Because in the movie, Barbara and her husband, even though they don't go along with Beetlejuice, they still try to manipulate and scare the family away, which is something that he would do. So I have a feeling that he like has an effect on them.
Yeah.
Which would probably lead us into suspense and surprise, Kirsten.
Okay, so for this point that we're covering on the film, I would say the use of suspense isn't really heavily incorporated just because this is like not an at your average horror film, but I would say that probably the incorporation of the soundtrack of Beetlejuice, like the opening theme. It's very loud and overbearing music. It kind of makes the audience uncomfortable. So I'd say that kind of builds suspense, leading you into the world of the film. And then as for surprise, I would say surprise was really heavily incorporated in the scene where Beetlejuice comes after the possession in the dining room, when the Maitlands ultimately find out that he's not going to be a good help to them. I would say that the use of jump scares is very heavy in that, also really heavy special effects, which is going to freak the audience out. I guess the last thing we should cover today on this film should be the opinion of the movie. So what do you guys think of the movie?
So my opinion on the movie is, I think that it's a very well-made movie. And I think the acting could have been better in places. I thought the person who played Beetlejuice was an extremely good actor and portrayed the part very well. But I think there were some parts that could have been improved, and I think overall the effects of the movie were very good and well placed. I think that it makes a good statement, and I wouldn't rate the movie too high personally, but I think that it makes you think about you know, it kind of makes you wonder about, like, death, what happens afterwards. And, you know, I think it makes a really good statement about that and something that we've always wondered about, kind of a human nature thing. I think it shows that really well. But I would probably rate it 7 out of 10. Kirsten, what are your thoughts on it?
Okay, well, I have a totally different take on the movie just because kind of grew up watching it. I really love this movie. It's one of my favorite films by Tim Burton. It's a cult classic, pretty much. It never gets old. Like, I could watch it so many times and just never be tired of it. Like I've said in previous points, it's just a really interesting take on, like, your classic horror film. And it kind of was, like, a middle ground when I was younger of watching, like, a kid's movie and a scary movie. And I think that's kind of why I enjoy it so much, just because it never gets old. Out of 10, I'd probably rate this movie like 8.59. I mean, maybe it's not a 10 out of 10 movie, but it's definitely enjoyable to watch. So, Mary, what's your opinion on the film?
I definitely agree with Kirsten with the point of growing up with it and just always remembering it, because I remember watching this constantly as a kid, like, especially if I was, like, sick or something, they just put me on the couch with, like, some chicken noodle soup and watch this movie. But I think this movie really put Tim Burton, like, on the map as a movie maker. And a lot of the movie, going into, like, specifics of it, like, a lot of the movie was basically just slapped together, and it wasn't really meant to be the way it was supposed to be, but it came together so well. And, you know, it's always known for the iconic character of Beetlejuice, and, like, even during Halloween, you'll see people dress up as him every year, even though it's, I don't know, 15 to 20 years
exactly
old.
Sure.
I don't know.
It's an old movie.
And it's still just, like, as Kirsten said, a cult classic. And I still thoroughly enjoy the movie very much, and out of 1 out of 10, I would probably give it a strong 9.
Strong 9. Yeah, I think we all have, I mean, it's kind of around the same area. It is a classic, something that we all grew up with, and I think it had a big effect on all of us. But it was definitely something that was really good to watch, and it's a good movie. But I think that's about all we have. Probably filled the time a little too much here. But I think that's it for us, so bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening.
It's like 13 minutes.
It is.
Oh my god, it started recording. What the hell is happening? Yeah, it turned off. No, it was recording again.